It was in 1968, when Frank Radcliffe came back from Vietnam, that he began his numerous trips through the revolving doors of prison. The veteran was convicted of a murder in Florida, a murder he says he didn't commit. But he served 17 years before he got the charges reduced and was released. He came out angry at the system. Since moving to Wisconsin in the mid-1980s, he's been in and out of prison half a dozen times for check fraud, theft, drug possession, and resisting arrest. Radcliffe is now 60 years old. His most recent effort to get out and stay out began last December after landing the best job he'd had in years at a picture frame factory in Wanakee.
It doesn't pay no $25, $30 an hour. You know, you started, if you're on the third shift, you started, you know, 9 with a 50 cents premium. And you're doing your first, you know, 90 days. After that, you get a raise. You keep getting raises. You can build yourself up.
Radcliffe got the job 2 weeks after he was released and joined an assembly line supervised by a fellow Vietnam veteran, Dan Richards. Richards says Radcliffe's lengthy rap sheet posed no obstacle to him getting the job.
It really didn't make a difference. You know, to be honest with you, we were looking for people with who were willing to work, learn new things, and just become part of the process. He's got a good demeanor, a happy, you know, happy attitude. It helps him, I think, and it helps him handle some of the chaotic situations we come up with. But as far as did it influence my decision one way or the other, no.
Radcliffe also had the help of a support group at the St. Benedict's Monastery. He says connections there helped him find an apartment within walking distance of his new job.
It might not be a million-dollar mansion, but it's my million-dollar mansion. It's with my peace. Well, I can sit in there on my little computer and I can type and I can, when I get ready, I can eat what I want because I put it in there. You know, those little things mean a lot, you know, to you. I don't have to wait till a certain time, you know, wait for a count to open to go to the bathroom. If I want a cup of coffee, I can drink a cup of coffee. So, you know, something like that. I want to invite friends over, I can invite somebody over. You know, I don't have a problem, you know.
But actually, Radcliffe did have a problem. He was on parole and was not supposed to invite people over. But he ignored that because he had a plan to try to help other released inmates find housing and work.
In the project that I'm designing, you function through the day doing certain things every day. You got mentors and everybody else going to take you places. And hopefully we'll get a van and we can take them to the jobs where they need to go. Because there are jobs, there are places that we'll hire them to, you know. And this is what I really want, you know, really want to do.
So he held meetings at his apartment. He also let some parolees stay overnight while they were looking for work and housing, something his landlord, Gary Epping, had advised him not to do.
And all of a sudden I was renting to everybody who came out of jail, which was a new thing. And I think I said at that, take care of yourself first, Frank.
Then Radcliffe got hurt on the job and had to take time off to heal. Epping says things went downhill from there as Radcliffe began to spend time with some of the same people he used to drink and do drugs with before his last stint in prison.
A good friend of mine who I have lunch with a lot owns a liquor store, and I saw him in there. So that was a key thing. But started seeing some people from the girlfriend and some other people around his place too, which we had agreed on initially that it was, I don't want any other comings and goings, so they were all kind of signs. He was only there from December until, I think he was back in jail with the first time in like April.
Radcliffe was arrested for shoplifting at Kohl's. Ironically, the arrest came just moments after he spoke with a manager about the benefits of hiring ex-offenders like himself who were trying to start a new life. His parole officer put him on an electronic monitoring bracelet and gave him a strict schedule for when he could leave the apartment. A few weeks later, he violated that schedule and landed back in jail, a situation he blames on his parole officer. But parole supervisor Nicole Raisbeck says it was standard practice to put him on a short leash after his shoplifting arrest.
He was not abiding by the schedule that was set up for him. And there were some other violations, too, specifically. You know, obviously we encourage offenders to stay away from alcohol and drugs, and that was something in his case that didn't happen when he was on the bracelet.
Everything was going so good. And then all of a sudden, you see it just change because, you know, just that one step.
During all his time in prison, Radcliffe has always fought what he feels is the unfair and vindictive nature of the prison system, particularly parole and probation rules.
It made me feel like, okay, no matter what I do, this person is going to just do everything in the world to keep me, you know, down. You know, and here I am. I'm back in jail again, you know. So then I felt like I wasn't accomplishing anything.
Ratcliffe started writing up a legal challenge to his pending parole revocation. Meanwhile, his parole officer offered him a 4-month stay in a drug rehab center once his shoplifting charge came to trial. But the county jail needed space, so Ratcliffe was unexpectedly released just a few days before his trial. He was placed at a seedy drug-infested motel on the edge of town, got back into using drugs, missed his court date, and was rearrested on July 11th for bail jumping. During the arrest, police officers used a taser to prevent him from running off. It was a disappointment to his support group, especially retired high school athletic coach Jim Stevenson.
I was sold that he was going to make it. I really was.
Stevenson and the rest of the support group had hoped Ratcliffe could be the seed for a larger reentry project to help other offenders coming out of jail.
We talked and talked and talked about how important this would have been to all those prisoners inside that were watching him. And now it just didn't happen.
The good news is Frank will be going into a drug treatment program before the end of the month, and his support group has promised to be there for him if he successfully completes it. Gil Halstead, Wisconsin Public Radio.